All right, this is Friday, August 28th, 2009, and it's 8:42 p.m. in the Eastern Time, and we're going to be continuing our meeting from Sunday, August 23rd, 2009. This is an open meeting. Richard, can you please take the role?
Okay. Sherry Gindelman?
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
Yes, sorry.
Grace Aaron?
Yes, here.
Sean O'Brien?
Here.
Leslie Radford? I can't hear you, Leslie, if you're there. Rico Ross?
Think she said she couldn't be here tonight.
Rico Ross? Rico, can you
hear me? All right, this is Friday, August 28th, 2009, and it's 8:42 p.m.
That's recording of Grace's voice from earlier. I don't know what's causing it.
Okay, I call Rico Ross. George Ryder?
Here.
Sandra Rollin?
Present.
Wendy Shrell?
Here.
Susan Young?
Here.
Dia Bediaco?
Present.
Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Kathy Davis?
Here.
Jamie Ross?
Here.
Jim Brown? Jim? Can't hear you, Jim. AC Bird?
Here.
Lucette King?
Yes.
Billy Ray Edwards?
Here.
David Beat?
Here.
Fia Wangaza?
Here.
Okay, I miss Jim Brown, Rico Ross, and Leslie Radford.
Leslie's here.
Oh, Leslie's here. Good deal. You have
I'm
a quorum, Madam Chair.
And LaVarne Williams.
Oh, and LaVarne. Hi, LaVarne.
Hi, Richard.
You have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Richard. All right. Do we have a volunteer who'd like to be timekeeper tonight?
Happy to do it, Grace.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Okay, we don't need to approve minutes or the agenda or anything like that because it's a continuation meeting.
Point of order?
Yes.
We didn't have an executive session scheduled, and you cannot schedule an executive session after at a meeting where the agenda has already been set.
I scheduled a separate executive session. This is not an executive session. That's the first thing.
No, you have an executive session on tonight's agenda at the close of this meeting.
Okay, let me look at this. Yeah, I sent out a notice for that a few days ago.
Right, so that would need 7 days' notice for a special meeting because it wasn't on the agenda.
I believe that, you know, we can discuss that. Actually, there was an agenda. There was an executive session that we did have that was on last week's agenda.
I don't think so. Could you send that to me, please?
Yeah, we did.
We had an executive session at the last.
Would someone send it to me?
That's not what we continued.
That's true. There was a request from a number of board members to hold an executive session tonight after this meeting.
I'm just making a procedural point of order, and you have to follow Robert's rules in this or our own rules. In a special meeting, since this is a continuation, needs 7 days' notice.
I understand.
Okay.
I believe that there is a provision in Robert's rules for short meetings with short notice.
Well, I'd like to know what it is.
I mean, George, can you look that up in the bylaws? I believe that's stated in the bylaws.
Well, is it Robert's rules or the bylaws? Because Robert's Rules is page 236, beginning on line 35.
Okay. Do we need to take that's a separately scheduled meeting?
We should take this up, not during the open session, but during
we should take this up. We will, per the notice that I sent out a couple of days ago, we can all dial into the executive session, and if we wish to not have it based on this, and this will give George and others a time to look at the Robert's Rules and the bylaws in terms of notice for an executive session. But anyway, let's continue for now with this continuation meeting of the open session for tonight. And I want to turn this over. We're up to the Governance Committee agenda item, and we're at procedures for LSC recall elections. And I want to turn the chair over to George as the chair of the Governance Committee. He would chair this section of this meeting, unless you have an objection to that, George.
No, that's fine.
That's 25 minutes, correct?
Well, that's what was scheduled. If we want to, I don't think we're going to get through this in 25 minutes. I'd like to move to extend, but we can do that if we need it, I suppose. I do, however, want to move to consider this seriatim, which is to say we'll do it a paragraph at a time. It's possible to make a substitute for any paragraph. The substitute and the original paragraph can both be discussed, and they can both be amended. As we go every paragraph, we then take a final vote on the total as amended. So I would move that we do it that way. Do I have a second to that?
Second.
Is there any objection to that?
George, it's Bonnie.
Yeah.
I realize that's probably the only way to make sense to do this. I just think everybody's got to really kind of hunker down on this and realize that as we go, if we change things along the way, they may refer to other things in the policy that we've already passed. So I think it's going to be a little bit complicated.
Well, I think it's all right because it's a timeline, basically, and we're going from the beginning to the end. So I don't see any of either the originals or the substitutes that where that's going to be a problem.
On the stack?
The question about doing a seriatim isn't debatable. We just need to take a vote on it, yes or no.
There was no objection.
Hearing no objection then. Bonnie, that was not an objection, I gather.
It was not. It was just a concern.
Okay. We'll move ahead then with considering these. There is actually a time limit on them, but they were for the original versions. Actually, that will work because the what subsequently happened in committee was that we went through them, but we didn't get very far. We did, however, get past the first two. And so the result of the committee...
George?
...in one and two of Leslie's substitute. Regarding,
yes. We're losing you best. You're fading out for a big...
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Is this any better? It may be a signal problem, or maybe my battery's low. Just a minute. Let me try a different phone. Is that any different?
That's better.
Is that better?
I'll tell you.
Okay. So, with regard to what I had as section one, and in front of you, you'll find section one and a substitute for it. Section one was replaced by, we have to vote on it, but the committee's recommendation was to replace it by section one and two of Leslie's motions. Let's see. I guess I'll introduce that myself. So I'll move.
George?
Yes?
The side-by-side. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the side-by-side, no.
I sent it to everybody. Let me send it to you. I worked my heart out on it, so if you throw it away, I will be really frosted.
I understand. when did you send it?
This afternoon.
This afternoon. Side by side. I have it here, yes. I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure that every one of those is the latest form.
But that's great. Does everyone have that in front of it? So I can just say we'll replace column A by column B. The first thing I'd like to do is to move. This is actually coming from the committee with a recommendation. Doesn't need a second. That the original version, which just said that the recall petition is to be sent to the secretary of the LSB, be replaced by what's listed as Radford substitute in Susan's comparison, 1 and 2, which says that. More specifically, the petition will be sent to the secretary of the LSB, care of the radio station. The petition may be delivered in person or via U.S. mail, and the secretary will forward it within 2 business days of receipt of notice of arrival to the general manager and simultaneously notify the chair of the PNB and the foundation's executive director of the arrival of the petition. So I would move to substitute that for the original version. That was passed unanimously by the Governance Committee. Is there any objection to that substitution?
Yes, I have one, Carolyn, here.
Okay.
I'm concerned because in New York it seems the petitions are a bit messy and there probably will be some legal questions. So at what point will counsel, I don't see that in here.
It is, and I was going to address that in a moment.
These petitions... are terribly messy, and there are lots of problems which are not addressed in this motion because I assume they would get caught, you know, in a legal review. But at some point they have to. I mean, my model is sort of recall petitions and that sort of thing that goes on in New York State. They're very tightly controlled, and ours were not.
Well, let me say how I would like to handle this. We also discussed the question of having legal review beforehand, and the committee voted 6-3 against doing that. However, we have to decide that, and I think it's an important question. So if we approve 1 and 2, I will then introduce the version which requires that we send it to a legal counsel for an opinion on it as a substitute for what we've just approved, and we can then take a vote on that. Is that acceptable?
How is that different from leaving the original language in place? It seems to me that council was notified in the first column in the governance review. I don't understand how what you propose.
We can leave if we just approve section 1. You're right, Carolyn. If we just approve Radford substitute 1 for the recall petition is to be sent to the secretary of the LSB, we can do it just the way you said. That is to say...
Point of information.
Yes.
I don't understand what you guys are... You have one, the recall petition is sent to the LSB. 2, the secretary will forward it, and I presume that's the secretary of the LSB.
Yes.
To legal counsel. What are you talking about that's different from what we're looking at?
Well, everyone should have the comparison.
That's exactly what I'm reading from. The comparison that's
in column 2, Radford substitute number 2.
Okay, but we haven't voted on number 2 or number 1 yet, right?
We haven't even debated.
That's right. I was trying to get them voted on.
Could you let him answer me? Go ahead, George.
I was trying to get them voted on. I was putting the two together, but I think that's a mistake.
Okay.
I want to just do one. So if there's no objection, the Radford substitute number one, I'd like to move that as a substitute. Well, I
object.
You object to Radford substitute number one?
Yeah, I object to this whole thing. I think this whole thing is unnecessary, and there's a good reason why the governance committee voted against this whole thing 6-3, as you just pointed out, George. This is unnecessary, and I really feel...
We're not talking about that yet, Sean.
All right. Okay, well, I object. I object to the whole thing, so I'm going to object to everything, George. I can hold off my comments till whenever you want them, but I object.
Okay, we're doing it seriatim so that you can object to particular pieces.
I object to
the piece
it all.
That nobody objected to, the piece that nobody objected to was the first part, that the recall petition is to be sent to the Secretary of the LSB. Leslie's substitute was more specific. It was to be sent to the secretary care of the radio station, and basically it had to be in paper. You couldn't send it as an email. You can send notice of the delivery of the petition to the secretary by email, but you can't send the petition itself. Has to be in paper. Is there any objection to that?
Yep.
Who is that?
Sean.
And what's your objection?
Number one, I object at all. Number two, I don't like to specify this. There may be a time that we may have to use Twitter to send in one of these things. And as it stands now, we could do that. The way that they're proposing it now, we couldn't. And somebody shouldn't laugh too hard when I say Twitter, because look at what it just did in the Iranian Revolution. So I don't want to specify it, and I don't want to change the system, because we're changing the rules in the middle of the game. Thank you.
Anybody want to speak for it?
Yeah, I'd like to speak for it.
Okay.
We aren't changing rules in the middle of the game. We haven't had rules. And that's what we're trying to grapple with now, is a responsible process. I appreciate the thought and discussion that's been going on in the governance committee, and I appreciate the fact, George, that you are having, you're going through a seriatim discussion with the board. There is little that is more important than this conversation. And to just blow it off, I find to be highly irresponsible. There are
personal privilege. Nobody is blowing it off. We're just not saying it's the right thing to do. Thank you.
Hello, Sean, please.
Please, please. Let even a point of personal privilege.
Hey, that's enough. I just took Sean's objection to be discussing these one by one, and I think it's the right way to proceed, and I am speaking in favor of the more specific process outlined in the Radford substitute that I thought that, George, you were speaking in favor of, too.
I am, actually. Can we go to a vote on this? Is there any objection to going to a vote on this?
Which one are you voting on, George? Just the first
section? Just number one. Just number one, yes.
Not the secretary will forward within 2 days?
No, not the second one, though.
Fine.
Just number one. Okay, hearing no objection, Richard, would you call the roll on this?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that Rico is on the call.
Welcome, Rico.
Thank you, Rico. So we can't do this with just one objection?
I don't know where it is in Robert's rules that if there's only one objection, you don't call a roll. But we have been doing
that. Dave, I object as well.
Okay, so we got two. So let's take the roll.
Okay. Sherry Gindelman.
Excuse me, pass.
Bonnie Simmons.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
Yes.
This is for section one. Joe Wenzala.
A pause.
Sean O'Brien.
No.
Leslie Radford.
Yes.
Rico Ross.
I'm going to abstain. Did you hear me?
Yes. George Ryder?
Yes.
Sandra Rollins?
Yes.
Wendy Shrell?
Yes.
Susan Young?
Yes.
Steve Ediaco?
Yes.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Kathy Davis? Kathy?
Abstain.
Jamie Ross? Jamie? Jim Brown? Can't hear you, Jim. AC Bird?
Could I get clarification? I still don't understand what we're voting on. What are we voting on?
We're voting on Section 1 of both the original version of the recall petition and Leslie's substitute. That's all. So we're voting yes means you want to put in Leslie's substitute for the original version.
Hey, yeah, I go with it then.
You said King?
Abstain.
Billy Ray Edwards?
Abstain.
David Beaton?
No.
Pia Wangaza?
Oh, boy. I abstain.
Sherry Gindelman?
Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
Abstain.
Richard,
this is Grace. I abstain. George is the chair tonight, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For this. He's the chair for this.
Then you need to remove George's vote.
I did.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
10 to 2 to 7.
Okay, the motion passes. The next one on the floor is the secretary will forward, well, is the legal review. It's as amended after the last meeting where it was discussed, which is to say the lawyer decides whether the charges are substantive or not. He makes a recommendation to the PNB. The PNB decides whether or not to accept the lawyer's recommendation and makes the final decision about whether or not to go forward with the recall election. That's as it stands. The substitute is that the lawyer is taken out of it entirely. The secretary will forward it within 2 business days of receipt, notice of the arrival to the general manager, and simultaneously notify the chair of the PNB and the foundation's executive director of the arrival of the petition. It also, the substitute also has notifying the executive director, which actually plays a role subsequently. So that's what's in front of you. I think the substitute's been moved by the committee. The vote was 6-3 for the substitute to get, and again, that would get rid of the legal counsel. Discussion on that. Yes, please, one at a time. I couldn't catch who was calling.
On the stack, Susan.
Carolyn, Joe.
On the stack.
And then Wendy.
I heard Susan, Joe.
Did you hear Sherry?
Else? Sherry.
Carolyn.
Leslie.
Sherry, Wendy.
Carolyn.
Leslie.
Carolyn, Leslie.
Sean.
Thanks.
Leslie. Sean.
Bonnie.
Okay. Bonnie, what I'd like to do is to take 1 for and 1 against, if possible.
Mine is a question.
Okay, what's your question, Susan?
My question is, is it the intent to remove the legal review altogether or to place it somewhere else?
The motion, as it passed in the governance committee, was to remove the legal review altogether.
Point of order?
Yes.
A point of information, excuse me.
Yes.
I'm trying to see how Radford's substitute does anything different than what we're already doing. Could somebody explain that to me? Because it appears, at least on the face of this comparison here, what's the change in the substitute outside of stopping the legal counsel? Isn't this what we're already doing? That's my question.
Besides stopping the legal counsel, it also notifies the executive director.
Okay, so that's the only difference from what we're doing at this moment.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Susan, do you want anything else that you want to say?
I would like to ask why there was
somebody's
making a lot of crunches.
Yeah.
Why there was a desire to remove the legal counsel review.
I think I'll let Joe speak to that. I believe he favors that. Joe, you're next.
This is Joe, and the discussion in the governance committee and in my comments on this, my position is I had researched this issue quite extensively, and I couldn't find any legal basis in, you know, California law, what I looked at, in terms of recall petitions in the state of California, or in the corporation's code that set a legal litmus test for a recall petition. Once, as far as I understand it, once the quorum provision is met, the signatures are gathered, the process must go forward. So it seems to me to add for this procedure to place an attorney as a gatekeeper as to whether or not the recall could go forward may not even be proper. As I understand it, as it was put to us, the language in the bylaws suggests that there may be some case law saying that there might some legal standard must meet the language of the bylaws. You know, that there has to be some act against the interests of the foundation. But I've not been presented with any case law that shows. So at the same time, while I voted against removing the provision for an attorney to sort of give this green flag, because I don't think it's procedurally correct, just as with, and it happened recently with one candidate statement in the elections, any recall petition or election candidate statement or anything like that, as a matter of course, would undergo scrutiny by our legal counsel if there were concerns that it was libelous or anything like that. So it seems to me redundant to include such a provision in this. The procedure is for it to go forward. Obviously, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to some language saying, you know, for legal review, for there to be some legal review, but not for that legal review to act as a gatekeeper for the process itself. So that's how I look at it.
I guess Ricardo had recommended that we have such a legal review.
Susan, you're not recognized.
Sorry.
On the stack back.
Stack, please, Lizette.
Okay. Would anyone like to speak in favor of keeping the legal review in? Who's on the stack?
Carolyn, back here, please. I would.
Okay, Carolyn, go ahead.
I'm not sure exactly what Joe was saying. Perhaps this is any clarification on that. If there's no legal review, when would there be a legal review? We have significant irregularities here in New York in the petition process, which could end up in a lawsuit of some sort. So I would love to have a legal review before the petition goes forward in order to prevent just that sort of thing. And I don't quite know how to word that. Perhaps Joe has some ideas, but how did Ricardo recommend wording his review? I'd like to make sure that the petition is correct, but we don't have a framework for correct. I'm thinking that it does this sort of thing, and the signatures are vetted. There's a witness to the signatures who signs.
Let me say that
Sean for the stack too.
I got you. But you're already on the stack, Sean.
Thank you.
Rico, to back.
Let me say that the question that you're raising, Carolyn, really hasn't been addressed by the governance committee, which is what is the form of the petition? Not so much the substance of what's alleged, but how regularized should it be? How many, you know, should the signatures, should somebody sign off on the signatures who got them? Does every copy of the petition have to say the same thing? Things like that. My sense is that there needs to be an additional piece put in over and beyond the question of legal review for whether or not the substance has to do with being adverse to the best interest of the foundation. You're correct. That piece is not in here at the moment.
When do you think it should be put in, if I may?
Well, we're going to have a governance committee meeting next week, and I'll bring it up there. Sherry, you're next on the stack.
So what Ricardo actually had said in his comments at two meetings ago or whenever this first came up was that he wanted it reviewed by council for some of the reasons Carolyn said, and for the reason that the bylaws say actions adverse to the interests of the foundation, which is, in fact, a legal standard, that is a measurable legal standard. And whether or not Joe found case law doesn't mean that it's not a measurable legal standard. And what his comments said were that a review by counsel, and he said he didn't want to be that person. He thought of the structure of an independent counsel outside of the responsibilities of the actual foundation counsel to review it to see whether or not the allegations met the legal standard of if the petition was to remove someone for behavior A and B, whether or not behavior A and B were adverse to the foundation. And he, in his comments, said that it would save the foundation money in terms of litigation if the behavior was simply that I don't like their politics, or something that fell short of that standard, that it could be measured and then that independent counsel would recommend to the body that it did or did not meet that legal standard. And I think it will protect the foundation in the long run from suits brought because the petition or action did not meet that legal measure.
Point of information.
Okay. Yes, Carolyn?
You mentioned a governance committee meeting. The only one that I see is September 17th. Is that the one you're referring to?
No, I sent it out. I sent the notice out to the governance committee, but I didn't have a chance to post it on KPFTX.
When is
Mr.
that?
Chair, we have reached time.
Yeah, George, could you send that to me? This is Leslie.
Send what? Oh, yes, I will.
The governance notice.
Yes, I will. We've reached time. Do I have a motion to extend? I think we need to work our way through this thing.
Extend.
I'd like to make it. George, this is me. I'd like to make a motion.
Is motion to extend time?
I move to extend by 10 minutes.
Carolyn here. I move to extend by 15 minutes.
I'm going to be recognized, George.
Yes, Nia?
Gallery on his dad.
Bonnie's moved to extend by 10 minutes. I didn't quite hear what Carolyn said. What did you, were you seconding that or what?
I had said earlier 15 minutes, but...
Point of information, George, is that extending just for part two of this or for the entire item?
Sean, what was that time? 25 minutes for the whole item?
25 minutes for your whole section in governance.
Yes, I think we need to extend it for a substantial period of time, like 25 minutes, something like that.
Indeed.
George, may I make a substitute, George?
Half an hour, okay.
George, are you recognizing me?
Yeah, go ahead. Yes, I will. Go ahead.
I would like to extend time until the document is completed. How about that? This way we don't have to stop and go through this drill of saying yes and no for 5 minutes.
Nia, I love it.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion to extend time until either we run out of time in this meeting or we finish the document.
So this meeting is over at 9:30?
I presume, yes.
Okay, and wait a minute. What time is it? Okay, because I'm working off West Coast time here, folks. So what time is it right now? That 9:30 was East Coast time, correct?
Well, it started at 8:30. Surely we had more than an hour for the public meeting.
Well, I'm telling you.
The public meeting is
what
over.
Was that? What was that?
The public meeting is over in...
At 10:30.
At 10:30. Okay, excuse me. So
we had 2 hours for it. I would hope that would be enough. Nia's motion's on the floor. It's been seconded to extend the time necessary to complete this task. Is there any objection to that?
Yes, there is. Yeah, there is. Because I think going indefinitely, we just drag out the clock, we fight, we don't move on to anything else like the proposed discussion of an executive session. So I would object to a time. We need a time certain, folks.
Is there any other objection to that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I make a motion for 30 minutes.
You can amend Nia's motion. Make it 30 minutes. I heard a second for that. So let's take a vote on the amendment first. Is there any objection to taking a vote on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment to 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Point of information.
Yes.
I heard Sean say time certain. Does that mean if we chose to extend beyond the 30 minutes, it would be a 2/3 vote to do so?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oy.
That's right. Okay, so if you want to keep going until we finish this thing, then the vote is no on the amendment. If you want to just have 30 minutes and require a 2/3 vote to extend, then the vote is yes.
A point of interest, Carolyn, please.
Yes, Carolyn, go ahead.
The date of your amended governance committee meeting is when? Your new one?
September 3rd.
Thank you so much.
Now, Mr. Point of information or order, sir, the vote on the motion to extend indefinitely also takes a 2/3 vote, correct?
Yes, I believe it does.
Why is that?
Because we set 25 minutes on the original agenda, and we're still running off that original agenda, so it's a change in the agenda.
But times on the agenda are
order?
Approximate other than time certain status.
We're still going off the agenda.
Point of order?
Yes, who's Jamie?
Yes, my point of order is that to vote whether to select the amendment of 30 minutes or all the time is a majority vote, but to enforce either one of those is a 2/3 vote.
That's correct.
Well, I didn't hear what Jamie said. Jamie, could you repeat that?
Jamie said the amendment requires only a majority, but the actual motion itself requires 2/3.
Ah, I see.
If we don't get 2/3, we have to stop now.
Point of order, the 30-minute is a substitute motion. It's really not an amendment. It completely changes the main motion. And the substitute motion in this case would need a 2/3 vote.
No, I don't think so, Grace. It has the same status as an amendment, even if you call it a substitute. An amendment can change the original intention completely. It's just that if you make a substitute, you can discuss both at the same time. Jamie, what's your point of order?
My point of order is essentially what you're saying. This substitute is an amendment to the original motion. To select it over the original motion is a simple majority. But to actually make it happen, once we've selected it, take the 2/3 vote in either case. If we vote yes on the substitute, then we still have to vote it by 2/3 to make it happen. If we vote no on the substitute, then we vote on the original, and that takes 2/3 to make it happen.
Okay.
My order. Rico.
That's
okay, please. Rico.
I don't know if it's a point of order, but I just wanted to say that process is important, but the more we talk about the process, the less time we're going to have to talk about the issue itself.
That's
right. It's not a point of order, but it's certainly a point I wanted to make. Grace, anyone else want to speak to this this question of how much time to extend for? Okay. Hearing none, Richard, would you take the roll on the amendment to extend for 30 minutes?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
No.
Sean O'Brien?
No.
Leslie Radford?
Pass.
Okay. Rico Ross?
No.
Sandra Rowland?
Yes.
Wendy Shrell?
Can you tell me what we're voting on? I stepped away for just a second.
You're voting on an amendment to Nia's amendment, which was to continue until we finish this thing,
by
Sean to extend only for 30 minutes.
I say yes.
Okay, so this yes to extend for 30 minutes. Okay.
Susan Young.
No, wait. I thought you said it was Nia.
No, Sean's amendment was to Nia's amendment, Nia's motion. Nia's
We're
motion
voting
was
on Sean's to just do 30 minutes?
That's correct.
No.
Susan Young.
No.
Nia Long.
No.
Carolyn Burden.
And pass.
Kathy Davis.
Abstain.
Jamie Ross.
Yes.
Jim Brown. Jim, you're there, I can't hear you. Casey Bird. Casey Bird. Can't hear you, AC. Lucette King?
Pass for now.
Billy Ray Edwards?
Abstain.
David Beaton? David?
I abstain.
Fio and Gaza?
No.
Gary Gendelman? Sherry Gendelman?
Sorry, no.
Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Andrea Turner? Andrea? I think she went away.
Oh, no, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
No, sorry.
Joe Wanzala?
No.
Leslie Radford?
No.
Carolyn Burden?
Yes.
Lucette King?
No.
Yeah.
Grace gets the vote.
Three.
Grace gets the vote.
13.
30 voted.
Oh, she did? Sorry.
You got 3-13.
Okay, can we go to now a vote on the main motion, which was Nia's, which was to extend until we're complete. Richard, would you call the roll on that?
Okay, this is the election. This is the vote on the extension until the cows come home. George,
is
right.
Any
you don't get the
objection?
It's till the end of the meeting.
Is there any objection?
Yes.
Are there any objections to this?
Yes.
Are there any objections to
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, take the roll, please.
Okay, Nia Bidiaco?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, yes.
You sometimes people vote against their own stuff. Carolyn Burden?
No.
Kathy Davis? Kathy?
Abstain.
Okay, Jamie Ross?
Abstain.
Jim Brown, AC Bird, can't hear you, AC. Lizette King?
No.
Larry Edwards?
Oh.
David Beaton?
No.
Great.
Was that a no?
No.
Okay, thank you. Sophia Wangaza?
No.
Sherry Gendelman?
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
No.
Grace Aaron?
Abstain.
John O'Brien?
No.
Leslie Radford?
Yes.
Rico Ross?
I'm sorry, I don't know what I'm voting on right now.
Extend until the matter is taken care of.
I thought we did. Well, didn't we just vote on that?
That was 30 minutes.
Okay. I'm going to stick with 30 minutes, whatever that was. That's a yes or a no.
It's done.
Oh, okay. I'm going to abstain then.
Okay, Sandra Rollin.
I abstain.
Wendy Shrell.
Yes.
Susan Young.
Yeah.
Did anybody pass?
Yeah, AC Bird. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, AC. I got it. Okay, that's 8, 4, 7, 5.
What?
How many for and against?
That's
it doesn't matter.
Category.
It doesn't get 2/3.
Eight.
It doesn't.
Oh, eight.
It doesn't pass.
I get
seven.
It.
Okay, let me finish it. 8, 7, 5.
So they didn't get 2/3.
It did not get 2/3.
That's right.
The motion fails. Do I have any other motion to extend for some other time to finish this or to do whatever we can with this?
The vote was a majority vote. And then
that
to
was the last vote on the
subject. Endorse it, and then to enforce it was a 2/3.
Well, this is, the amendment was a majority vote. Since the amendment failed, what we had in front of us was the motion itself to change the agenda and to finish this business. That's needed 2/3 because it's a change in the agenda. I don't like it, but that's what it is. Do we have a motion for some other time, say maybe 45 minutes to extend?
I move that we extend time by 45 minutes.
Great. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Second.
Is there any objection to that? Hearing no objection, we extend time for 45 minutes. Let's get back to the substance of the matter. We were talking about Section 2. The question was whether or not to keep the lawyer in the process, which is the way it stands in front of you. Leslie's amendment would remove the lawyer and notify the executive director. Wendy, I think you're next on the stack.
Thank you. I think that the lawyer thing needs to stay in there, and it really has to do with, well, I should say it's because of who we are, but also just the fact that anybody could instigate a recall petition and force Pacifica to pay. I mean, I already told you guys, I think that people should pay for it themselves, but if let's just say that they don't pay for it themselves. It forces Pacifica to send mail to $5,000 worth of mail on a recall that might just be about political differences. That doesn't make any sense if you're trying to run an organization. We already spend a couple $100,000 on a good year on elections to elect people, delegates, and to have then spending the rest of our time then trying to unelect them, I think it needs to be for a good reason. And Sherry said it better than me about the legal standard for what constitutes interest of adverse conduct to the foundation. So, really, folks, this is we can't be playing Pacifica games with this stuff. We have to do radio. Thank you.
Does anyone want to speak in favor of Leslie's substitute? Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
I would like to speak in favor of one element of it, and that is notifying the ED.
Is Leslie, are you there?
Yes, I dropped my Bluetooth out of my ear, but I'm back again.
Okay, do you want to speak to your substitute?
Yeah, I do. I want to say to this, first of all, we don't escape liability. Under the bylaws, as they're written, we have to go through with these recall elections. Okay, and we're going to get sued if we don't. The lawyer thing, frankly, we have always had lawyers, as far as I know, who the minority has thought favored the majority since the beginning of time. As Joe was pointing to, this becomes a gatekeeper position, usually for the majority. And given that, at best, it's only advisory, and it puts whether or not we have a recall in the hands of the PNB, and that's its ultimate function, is the PNB gets to decide whether or not the recall goes forward. I think that's a dangerous precedent, not just ethically, but legally. I don't think the PNB can vote against going forward with a recall if somebody asks for one. I would go ahead with an amendment if anyone's interested, and I'm kind of fishing with this one a little bit before I make it a formal amendment, that the petitioners be provided with the legal standard of best interest to the foundation and assume liability for claims against the foundation for matters regarding the content of the petition.
Sorry.
So that it's on the petitioners to make sure that it meets, that the content of it meets a legal standard, and they're provided with that standard. But I don't think the PNB can stop a recall. I don't think that's an authority that the PNB has. The best it can do is provide a non-binding opinion.
Okay. Anyone want to speak in favor of the of keeping the legal thing there?
Bonnie to stack.
Bonnie, you're already on the stack, Bonnie. You want to speak in favor?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm speaking in favor.
All right. Go ahead anyway.
All right. What's in the bylaws is that, and I'm skipping the earlier parts. I'm just going to read about the petition here. Provided that a quorum is established by written ballot, and further provided that before any such election may be held, the secretary of the appropriate local station board shall first have received a petition signed by at least 2% of the appropriate class of members affiliated with that radio station, seeking said delegate's removal due to conduct by the delegate that is specifically alleged in the petition to be adverse to the best interest of the foundation or the local radio station. In the event of a removal proceeding pursuant to this section 9D or 9E, the delegate must be afforded reasonable and appropriate due process, et cetera, et cetera. If the petition has to fill the, what I understand in California, at least, to be legal requirement of adverse to the best interest of the foundation or the legal radio station, then it seems to me that we do have to have some sort of proceeding to make sure that that is so. I'm not quite sure I followed what Leslie just said about the PNB deciding, and maybe I misunderstand what you've got here, George. To my mind, what you're saying here is that the legal counsel that is chosen addresses whether it is adverse to the best interest of the foundation or the local radio station. Then it says, if the decision is affirmative, the chair of the PNB will notify the GM of the station within 2 days of the need to certify the petition. If it is negative, the PNB chair will notify the petitioners that their charges have not met the legal standard necessary and the recall will not occur. Isn't that saying that the PNB is working off of the opinion of the attorney, or are you saying that the PNB is making a judgment waiting
The PNB has ultimate responsibility, and it's working off of the, with the advice of the council. So it doesn't have to be that way, but that's the way it's written. So the PNB could make a choice there. The council could say one thing, and the PNB could, as it's written now, the PNB could say the opposite.
Wow. Then I can't necessarily speak in favor of it. Sorry.
Let me say that the original version was written that it was just the legal counsel decision on that, and the PNB was out of the loop. That was amended, and I put the amendment in here. If you want to unamend it, you can do that also. It requires just taking out a sentence.
Rico to the stack, please, Chairman.
Okay, Rico, you're on.
Wait, whoa, Sean. Hey, I've been waiting a long time here.
I said you're not on right now, Rico.
Oh, I apologize. I thought you said he's on. I apologize.
You're next, Sean.
Okay, thank you, and I apologize for that, Mr. Chair. Listen, I don't like this as much as anybody else, and it really tells us what we need to do is fix or amend our bylaws and raise that 2% to a higher level or percentage of voters before we go through this process. My problem with a council that is picked, well, you're going to put yourself, we know Pacifica, that's going to lead to all kind of politics, all kind of charges and countercharges about who the council's in the pocket of. The point is the charges that are alleged in the petition that the voters are supposed to determine, do they meet up to the legal standard? And that is not only the way it is right now in our bylaws, that's how it is in the state of California. A dear friend of mine is the Assistant Secretary of State, or what, the former Assistant Secretary of State in charge of policy for California. So I called him up and I said, tell me, is there any standard outside of signatures to recall anybody in the state of California? There is not. And that was decided. The legislative intent there was, we're going to leave it up to the voters after a good campaign is to let them decide whether the charges alleged are worthy of recalling a candidate. I think we should leave it as is, at least now, until after these recall elections go through, and probably until at least after our next set of elections, because what I'm really worried about is the charge of changing the rules in the middle of the game. Because if we put this new system in place, it sounds to me like you're going to invalidate the two recall efforts that are already underway. And believe me, does anybody doubt that that's not going to be a political hot potato that's going to tar our elections, just be another issue that we can all go swinging on? I'm not saying we don't need changes. I'm just saying right now, in this situation, with elections on us, two recalls already going, this is not the time to make these changes. And so, folks, now that I see these side by side and I realize that number two is basically taking the lawyer out of it, I will probably vote for that substitute. But the overall policy, I would vote against and say, let us stay with our bylaws. Because also, folks, if we don't follow our bylaws, how can we ask anybody else to follow our bylaws? This is a critical moment for us. We should push through. I know it's messy. I know it's a drag. I know it's a pain in the behind. But we should honor our bylaws. And then if we want to change them after the election, that would be appropriate. Because if we don't honor our bylaws, who's going to? Thank you.
Susan, you're next. You still want to speak?
Hello?
Susan, you're next if you want to speak. Susan?
Yes. To my knowledge, we haven't been through a recall election yet. The bylaws do not address every bit of process. We have been advised by our attorney that this is a matter that, according to his interpretation of our bylaws, and we haven't been through this stage yet, that it is an appropriate step to take, and it is appropriate for the PNB to determine the steps that are not spelled out in the bylaws. I understand that there is a very difficult policy and judgment issue here about whether it's more in keeping or less in keeping to get a legal advice about this. But I think that someone as reasonable as Ricardo has recommended that is something worth considering. I consider it very seriously, and I don't think it's an effort to avoid the bylaws. I think it's an effort to fulfill the letter and spirit of the bylaws.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The question is, when we're talking about recall, at what level are we talking about it? From the listener's point of view, who said we want to recall our representative, or from a staff point of view, or PNB or LSB? The different sides that could be called.
This is a recall from the LSB, and it applies to either the staff or the listeners.
The LSB, okay.